John Morosi, Major League Baseball insider for MLB Network and Fox Sports. Hey, man.
Good morning to all of you. A couple thoughts on your previous topic.
Uh-huh.
Number one, it would appear Dave Grohl is pretty popular.
Yes.
Either way, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he wins either way there in the Nirvana Foo Fighters debate, although I would side with Nirvana in that particular discussion, although I do have
qualified.
Great regard for Foo Fighters as well.
I do too, but qualify. So now there's a whole bunch of different criterion. Is it criteria or criterion, John?
Criteria would
okay.
be plural.
Now, see, this is why we get the Harvard guy on.
That's right.
To identify if it's criteria or criterion. It's criteria.
Yes.
It is not the plural, which is criterion. Anyway, so here's the thing. Nirvana, for sure, the more influential, which we've discussed. But, you know, longevity, you got to take that into account. You take influence into account. Dave Grohl being part of both the bands, I guess you got to take into account. But when it comes to make something that makes something legendary, which is Nirvana legendary, they were game changers, right?
Right.
Steph Curry in basketball changed the way the game is played and won. He is a game changer. He should be considered legendary. Wayne Gretzky, same thing. Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker. No, I'm just joking because you know those guys. But like I'm saying, game changers, like people that change the way the game is played. And that's exactly what Nirvana did. So I find it impossible to think that there could be any other argument other than they are the greatest.
Right. Well, here's what I would say. Again, on that discussion that I would say Nirvana over Foo Fighters narrowly. I don't think it's as big as maybe some would say, because you have to also appreciate, guys, the artistry of Foo Fighters' first album, on which Dave Grohl played everything, himself, everything. So that was a very impressive musical feat by an extremely talented musician who was obviously a huge part of Nirvana. The answer to the overall question, though, of who Morosi's favorite artist is, I would say among contemporary musical acts, the answer to that would be U2.
Wow, out of left field. Unbelievable.
Didn't see that coming.
You too. Did you hear that last record they gave away for free on iTunes? That was terrible.
Well, here's what I say on YouTube. It goes more to the body of work,
okay.
gentlemen, over a very long period of time.
Yeah.
And on that score, I say YouTube.
Favorite U2 song?
Miss Sarajevo.
Mm.
Underrated. Check it out.
Interesting.
If you haven't
already. Not Red Hill Mining Town?
No, I've got Miss Sarajevo. Miss Sarajevo was the best in my personal judgment. It's underrated, but check it out because Pavarotti's involved. That's why it gets the moves on my list.
John, we need you to rank Springsteen, Ace of Base, or Frank Sinatra. 1, 2, 3.
I'll go Springsteen 1 because I am still a sports writer at heart, and all sports writers love Springsteen.
Yeah.
So Springsteen 1 on that score, and then Sinatra and then Ace of Base.
John Morosi, our guest. John, last question. It's another Twitter poll question we have for you. Here's it. No, listen, this is a good one. Better playoffs, NBA or NHL?
Oh, NHL. No question about that. You guys know that. That is how I would answer that question. But I would say hockey playoffs more unpredictable, and also I still think there's just greater drama. The great 3-0 games that you'll see from time to time. A great overtime game last night there for the
Morosi. Stick to baseball.
Hey, big voice.
Yeah, but
I was asked the question, okay?
I know, but we set you up, John. We pull that trap, and you just go right into it all the time, eh?
Walk you right into it. Hey?
Like every time.
So tell that voice. Morosi was legitimately asked the question.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even see that one coming. That one surprised me, too. Okay. I don't have
the
button.
Well done, Fabro. Well done.
No, it was Mon. We got to let Fabro off the hook, too.
All right, okay.
Listen, John, let's get to it. Appreciate you doing this again. We'll start with some bad news for Chris Colabello. He got caught taking a PED, denies taking it. What do you know about the drug he was caught with, and what do you know about Chris Colabello's denial?
Well, Dean, first of all, the drug itself, the common name for it, is actually one that's associated with the sort of East German doping program of decades gone by. Now, does that say that he deliberately took this substance or that it was sort of more inadvertently consumed? We don't know. And that's one thing where, Dean, one thing I've learned about this whole process in learning about performance enhancing drugs in sports is there are a lot of things that we don't know. Obviously he appealed it. The appeal was not successful. He's gone for 80 games. And that really, for a player that fought for a long time to get to the major leagues, it's a sad story. I don't personally know for sure yet where all the facts are from the standpoint of whether it was intentional or not. But it's obviously very very concerning for the Blue Jays and potentially very damaging to Colabello's career.
So, excuse me. So when you consider the fact that he was caught with his drug, when you consider the fact that you said we don't know if he was in it, if he inadvertently took something, mm-hmm. this is a drug that is illegal now. Like, it's not just illegal in baseball; it's illegal to sell. It's not like he, you know, maybe he had too many poppy seeds on his poppy seed bagel. You know, this is obviously something, and you know enough about the drug, you know enough about baseball, you know enough about the circumstances. Is there any other conclusion to come to other than the fact that he was intentionally doping?
Well, here's what I would say, Dean, is that there's number one, the most important thing about any test, and this is true any sport anywhere that has a doping testing program, you are responsible for everything that goes in your body as a professional athlete. And if you talk to any player, most players at least, they will, and if you ask them about what supplements they would take, they would show you, if they have one in their locker, a little sticker that says NSF. And that is the entity that basically tests and approves any nutritional supplement that you would buy at a store or any sort of substance that you would take. If it's got the sticker, it's been checked. And if it doesn't have the sticker, it hasn't been checked, and you use it at your own risk. And so what I would say to you is, and now this is my understanding, is that the substance he took or that he tested positive for is one that can be taken orally, okay? So is it possible, conceivable, that it was inadvertent? I suppose it's possible, but my answer to that is it doesn't matter, because if it was in your system, you're responsible for the fact that it was in your system, and the suspension, in my judgment, is warranted. And that to me is how I view it. As a professional athlete, you're making a lot of money. You've got the best healthcare in the world at your disposal, with doctors everywhere and nutritionists everywhere. If there is any sort of question as to the legality of what you're taking, and this is not just about Colabello, it's about anybody. If there's any question as to the legitimacy of what you're about to take, call them or look at the seal and see if it's NSF approved. And if it's not, you shouldn't take it. And that's really sort of the beginning and the end of the discussion. My capacity for guys for sort of sympathy or empathy or understanding on this for any athlete anywhere is relatively low, because unless there's some sort of really far-fetched story behind it, if you take something that is illegal or banned by baseball, there's not much of an excuse for it, because you've got the list, you've got the seal, and in my estimation, it's sort of hard to believe. Now, I'm not saying that Chris is wrong, because I don't know for sure. None of us know for sure.
Well, he is. I mean, if they've suspended for 80 games, like, it's not. Listen, from what I understand, and you would know better than me, what I understand is that if they suspend you for 80 games, the due diligence involved is clinical. It's super tight.
It's science. Yeah. It's science. And this is the thing. Now, is it possible that there was inadvertent use? Yes, conceivably that is possible.
What are like? Can you percentage that for me?
I'm Dean. I'm not a doctor. But I would say, again, the possibilities are probably low. Candidly, when you look at the grand scheme of things, candidly, they're probably quite low. But again, it comes down to the science, and it's not the intent. That's an important thing for people to realize. There is a test, and the science and the test of it does not judge whether or not you're a good person, or whether you tried to do it or not, or whether it was on purpose. The test is, does the substance exist in the subject's urine?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, it's a positive test. That's really where it stems. So I think that there has been some movement, guys, among the baseball community for there to be sort of a differentiating penalty where if it's documented and proven that there was and sort of demonstrated that there was clear inadvertent use, that the penalty could be different. But obviously that was not the case here. And 80 games is the penalty for a first offense. And moreover, that means that he is ineligible now for the playoffs. That's a key part of the rule that changed a few years ago when Johnny Peralta came back for the Tigers in the playoffs. But Colabello, as of this moment, is not eligible for the playoffs either.
John, time frame and all this, because they test during the postseason, correct?
They do. Now in Colabello's statement, he said that he found out on March 13th, which to me would indicate an off-season or early spring training positive, because if it would have been a positive in October, I think he would have found out about it much earlier in the wintertime than March 13th.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that he came out of nowhere last season? He was a breakout player, huge surprise for this Blue Jays team. And Alex Rodriguez said something very similar to when he signed that massive deal with Texas. He took steroids because he felt the pressure to live up to the contract. Do you think Colabello maybe went down this road because to feel that pressure that, hey, I was a breakout player, I got to do something to make sure.
Got to stay there.
I got to be here. I want to be a big part of this team, and I want to be a regular big leaguer. Do you think that that factored in any way, shape, or form here?
Well, George, it's a great question, and it's one that really that I don't personally have the answer to, and that certainly I think Chris will probably have to answer to at some point whenever he sits down for an interview for the first time after the suspension. But it's a very valid question, and from a human standpoint, as you articulated what A-Rod had said, I think people can identify with emotions along those lines, if in fact that was the case. But it's impossible to know. And one thing I'll say about this too is I know Chris Colabello. I know he's worked extremely hard for a very long time to get to this point. I was personally surprised when this was announced on Friday. Chris is in my judgment a great person. But one thing.
Yeah, you know him. Have you spoken with him?
Yeah, we talked to him on this program.
No, but have you spoken to him since?
Not since. I have not spoken to him since. No.
Okay.
What I would tell you is what I can say to you about Chris Colabello. I like him a lot personally. I have tremendous regard for him. Obviously, he's a fellow Italian American who has done amazing things. He grew up part of his life over there. There's a great part of his story, fighting through the independent leagues, everything. But I look at that and I have those personal feelings about him, and I sort of keep them in this box over here. And then there's the other side that says you look through the long list. And again, I don't know the facts of what happened here. None of us really do. I put that about how my personal feelings about Chris in this box. In the other box, there is this long list of players and people who have failed drug tests, okay, in over the course of baseball's testing program, which is now 11 years old. Many people that I know in that box too, who I consider to be very good people too, who also, whether it was inadvertent or purposeful, had performance-enhancing drugs in their system. So the old thing, and this is important for everybody to realize, if you fail a steroid test, it does not make you a bad person. I do not at this point in time pass character judgments one way or the other. It just sort of is something that happened. And I do think too, one thing, guys, you look at the way that the baseball in general has handled things. How much conversation, you have your suspension, but once it's over, how much conversation do we still have about Johnny Peralta or Nelson Cruz or other guys that were suspended in Biogenesis? It's sort as long as you sort of carry yourself in a positive way after the fact, people in general, the public, sort of forgets about it. Now, A-Rod, we sort of remember, but for a lot of guys, we don't. And I think there is something instructive there in terms of how people should best handle this thing, because obviously it's not a good thing. It's a very difficult thing for a player that worked very hard to get to the point where he was. But so from that standpoint, it's unfortunate, but it is not career-ending, nor is it necessarily the defining aspect of his career. Because I think if you look at Nelson Cruz and Peralta, other guys, it's not necessarily the defining thing for them either.
Yeah, but it very different, you know, different players. Like, those guys have a track record of being very successful big leaguers. Chris Colabello does not, and he's hitting, I think, .069. So, you know, you're it could be more career-ending for him than anyone else. But I want to ask you a question. The follow-up from this when it comes to the on-field product, and I thought, you know, and it's a terrible thing, and not really a terrible, it's just kind of where my mind went. I thought, okay, this guy got gassed for taking steroids. He's gone for 80 games. Justin Smoke said he needs more at-bats if he's going to be successful. Boom, there you go. You get your more at-bats, and he's a better fielding first. But does this kind of solidify a couple of things for this team? And do you think this would benefit the team long term? That's the first question. Second question is, what do they do with this position? Do they go get another bat? Will they make a trade? Will they bring someone up?
Well, a couple of things. I think that certainly from the standpoint of the way they'll handle things this year, I mean, Smoke now has his opportunity. And I do think he'll get certainly a lot of at-bats. And if he has a chance, if Justin Smoke has a chance to be an everyday major league player and continue on and get you know, get arbitration contracts moving forward, this is his opportunity. I mean, he really has to show something now. I mean, because he's in a great hitter's ballpark, he'll have the at bats, and I think they'll probably evaluate him over a period of time. The one thing I'll say, guys, is that it's a tricky position to fill, and I'll tell you why. Because Colabello's role was sort of the righty bat, DH, first base, maybe a little bit of outfield. He was a righty bat, but he was a righty bat on a really righty team. So I'm not really sure that they need to sort of fill what's already been sort of an unbalanced, as we talked about last week, strikeout-prone right-handed lineup. So I really think it's interesting to see if they end up sort of filling this vacancy, who it is. Because, you could go out there and get a righty bat at the deadline, like maybe a Mark Reynolds or a Chris Carter, but they strike out a ton, too. And so I would – it's going to be really interesting. I would almost look for more of a lefty bat that you could mix in somewhere else with the club. If Smoke can hit, and if he's going to hit every day, he's a switch hitter, for crying out loud. So if he's able to do the job, then I would actually focus that roster spot on something else, maybe a lefty bat that could play elsewhere and give you a bit more balance. Because the strikeouts, guys, the Jays, as we're talking today, still lead the major leagues in strikeouts. Mm-hmm. So I would prefer, if I was them, to look to my bench and say, you know what, I need more of a contact bat that I can put in somewhere because there's just too much swing and miss on my club. Also, don't forget this Russell Martin thing with his neck. If he has to miss some time, you may want to call up a catcher anyway, like an A.J. Jimenez maybe from the minor leagues to kind of get a little more insurance there, or Sanchez as well, I believe, in the minor leagues too. So those are the names that I think you should watch in the near term because of what's going on with Russell Martin's neck.
John, Blue Jays open up a series with the White Sox tonight. They're 13-6. Are they for real?
You know, George, I look at this team. I did not think they were going to be for real. I thought they would be a fourth-place team in this division. But boy, what's happened for them is they've pitched exceptionally well. And when you come out of the gate, and this is not a case of a couple hitters sort of going way above their career norms or really out of control with their production. This is excellent pitching, and it's pitching for the most part. And you saw Latos yesterday was very good. For the most part, it's guys that have track records. And Jose Quintana's got a track record. Sale has a track record. Danks has been good, although, of course, tonight's going to be Miguel Gonzalez. So I think, George, it's more sustainable than it's not. Do I think they're going to keep up this pace? No, I don't. But could they make the playoffs out of this division? Yes, I think so. The Tigers have been disappointing. The Indians just lost Carlos Carrasco yesterday with a hamstring injury. So I think the White Sox are legitimate. Todd Frazier's been very good. And Melky Cabrera has really, he's been the one guy that has really emerged offensively. So stay tuned for Melky's return there to Toronto this week.
Thanks, John. We wanted to play out with this beautiful song. Of course, you said this was your favorite this morning. Have a listen to this. Here you go.
Jim.
Hey, stick to better music, Blundell.
John Morosi, thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon. All right, man. Take care. John Morosi for Major League Baseball Network and the Major League Baseball Insider for Fox Sports.